You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
To Donna and the family, in the loss of Kurt, the band put a little memorial thing up there. That's where Kurt used to. If you don't, you're like, who's Kurt? He's the guy with the hat that played lead guitar, and like 60 years old. So it was just something sudden, and we were over there yesterday, myself, Tom, Nancy, and Ron and Lori, and the other neighbors have been there and trying to take care of, but that's a rough thing. So be praying, especially for Donna on that. And now, like Tim said, Kurt, he ain't going to come back. He wouldn't want to come back, right, once you get to heaven. Matter of fact, I'm going to have a series slated for, I think, the summertime where I'm preaching on heaven, because most of us we're misconstrued, you know. If you think that heaven is all about sitting on clouds, strumming harps, you have been lied to. It's awesome, stinking awesome. So, anyway, all right, so be praying for the family. Now, we're going to jump into today, and I want to say, ladies, I love you. Today's going to be some tough truth for some of you. Now, some of you got this. You got this nailed, right? My wife has this nail. She had to struggle with it, but she's got it. But this is a part one of a two-part message. Next week, I was going to try to do it all in one message. I realized I couldn't do it justice. All right, so we're going to be talking to the men especially. Now, we're talking to both times, but the men are going to take it on the chin next week, okay? So say, Pastor John, we love you. We trust you. We don't hate you by faith. All right. Now, there is a weird fad going on today. I understand it a little bit, but I think it's weird, and that's photobombing wedding ceremonies or wedding receptions, and you've got, you know, just your average goober getting involved in the scenario like that, you know, okay, I get that, and then there's the accidental photobomb. Oh, I want to get married on the beach. Trust me, you don't. I've never had a beach wedding that went as planned. And then there's Pastor Dan, who got involved in rejoicing over nuptials. But this one scares me. That's a little scary. But so photobombing wedding pics, but you know what's infinitely, infinitely worse is when Satan photobombs my marital selfie, when Satan does it. And that's the message today. If you're right down on the title, you're taking notes, then you ought to. How Satan photobombs my marital selfie. Now you're like, marital selfie, what does that mean? We'll get to it. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 in your Bibles. Now, if you don't have a Bible, we have a blue one, hopefully close to you in the seat backs. And I want you to grab that. That's our gift to you. Take that home with you. Put your name in it. Bring it back next week, every week. It's on page 1081 in that Bible, Ephesians 5. Typically, we read it through, the passage through, and then we come back to it, and I put it on the screen. I'm not going to do that today because there's just really not enough time to do that. But I want you to follow along in your Bibles because there's some things I want you to underline if you're an underliner or highlight, etc., all right? But I submit to you married folks, all right? Now, and I realize, so you're like, I'm not married. What's in it? There's a lot in today's message for you. Just matter of fact, like we talked about, the filling of the Holy Spirit, how that relates to your relationships in your life. But married folks, this little passage in Ephesians, if you understand it, believe it, begin to live it, would fix 90-95% of your so-called unreconcilable differences. All right? You're like, I don't know, that's a big promise. It's because of the Word of God, not because of me. This is God's secret. And what do you mean, God's secret? At the end of this teaching, at the end of it, we're going to look at it, of this successful spirit-filled marriage teaching, Paul lays this marker down. Ephesians, go in your Bibles to verse 31. Look there. Says, therefore, after he's talking about marriage, what wives are supposed to do, what husbands are supposed to do, therefore, which whenever you see therefore, you ought to wonder or say, okay, why? What is it? Therefore, he says, because of what I've said, the man should leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a what? This is a mystery. It's profound. I'm saying it refers to Christ and to the church. Another version has it this way. This is a deep secret truth. Deep secret truth revealed in this scripture, which I understand is applying to Christ and the church, but it also applies to you. Every husband must love his wife as himself. Every wife must respect her husband. Bam. My relationship with my spouse pictures Jesus and the church. Now we're going to look into that. But that's the photo. That's the selfie that I'm to be showing to my family, to my neighborhood, in the workplace. Whenever folks see me and my spouse, they are supposed to be seeing a selfie, which really is like the mirror image of how Jesus relates to the church and how the church relates to Jesus. And so sadly, in so many of our marriages, many of them here, it represents nothing close to that. And you wonder why your marriage is falling apart, and God says to you, hey, do it my way. Order it my way. And picture, mirror how Christ and the church interact with each other, and that will make you have a marriage like you never thought you could have. That's what God wants for you. Now, somebody in your gut, you're saying, well, why hasn't my marriage turned out the way I wanted it, John? Why are we always fighting? I mean, why are we always fighting? Why doesn't she want to get intimate with me anymore? I mean, she used to call me her Prince Charming, and now she treats me like I'm Jabba the Hutt. So the answer lies smack dab between verse 15 and verse 33 in Ephesians chapter 5. And here's the thing. It's still a mystery to many of you. Some of you have been coming to this church for 20 years, and you still haven't nailed this thing down. You still haven't understood it, or if you understand it, you still haven't applied it. It's still a secret to you. It mystifies you, and you've tried to do marriage the best way you could, your way, or how you saw your parents do it, but Satan has showed up in your marital selfie. He's photobombed it, ruining the intended picture that God intends for you to mirror your marriage to your spouse, to mirror the relationship between Jesus and the church, which is a mystery to most folks. And so therefore, you're wounded, you're hurting, you're on marital life support maybe. So I want you to listen fast. Say, listen fast. Listen fast. Here we go. Let's grab the context. Ephesians 5. Now I want you looking in your Bible. Look carefully then how you should walk. Remember, we looked last week, walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So look carefully how you should walk. Not as unwise, but as what? Wise. This verse, translated a little bit later, means stupid. All right? And this word would be like, not stupid. All right, so it says there's a way to walk into marriage that's wise, and then there's a way to walk in marriage that is stupid. And some of you, I love you, you're walking stupid. You're walking stupid. Therefore, do not be foolish, verse 17 says, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So if I don't understand what God's will for my life and for my married life is, then I am foolish. And in some versions, that translates to stupid. So I'm either saying, okay, God, I want your will. I want to know what your will is for me, for my marriage. I don't want to be foolish. I don't want to be stupid. Then verse 18, we looked at this last week. Do not get drunk with wine. All right, now, I'm not going to ask how many of you have ever been drunk. I have. All right, I'm not bragging. I was a sailor and an idiot, and I used to drink. Not for the flavor. Did I just lose my mic? Yeah. All right. Not today, Satan. There we go. I used to drink not for the flavor because I drank Pabst Blue Ribbon. It's almost as bad as Bud Light. But I drank for the buzz. And then I would get into, all kind of mischief. And sometimes bar fights. It controlled me. Booze, alcohol, controlled me. I would do things with booze that I never would have done without booze, right? Say things, go places, Remember one time we were in Spain. We were in Palma de Mallorca, Spain, and we were on the cliffs, and we were drinking, and we decided to wrestle. And we're wrestling about this far from the cliff that's like 50 feet down to the oceans and the rocks. We thought it was cool. No, that's called stupid. You're living stupid. And so, but his point is, so don't get drunk with wine. Don't be controlled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. In the same manner that you used to be filled with wine and then it controls you, let the Spirit of God control you. That's his point. There it is. What's he saying? You can't do this thing of marriage by yourself. I can't make my marriage work. Write that down somewhere. I can't make my marriage work as God designed because it's a supernatural design. I can't naturally do a supernatural design. And God made marriage from the garden on to be something that it's not two people, it's three persons, you, your spouse, and Jesus. A threefold cord. Only he can through Spirit-filled me. It's no wonder your marriage. Some of you is continually on the rocks if you're not continually being filled with the Spirit of God. Because then you are controlled with the Spirit, and then you do things that you normally wouldn't do because you are selfish, we all are. Now it's going to get dicey. Are you ready? No, you're not. All right, but remember, before we get there, in order to do all this, I have to be filled with the Spirit of God. I have to be filled with the Spirit. We talked last week on how to get filled with the Spirit. If you don't understand it, then and it's not some woo mystical thing. It's more of a relation with God thing and a practical thing and a scheduling thing and a I'm going to walk with you, Jesus thing, a continual thing. Look at the last week's message if you don't understand that. But it's about he's about to jump in our chili, okay? And God does that all the time. Submitting, Greek word hupotasso, submitting. All right, and he's going to talk about women submitting to men, Henry. Submitting. To who? Oh, what another. Out of reverence. Why do I have to do that? Out of reverence for Jesus. We'll look at that. All right, so we're supposed to submit to one another. He's talking to a church about this. What is submitting? It is voluntarily lining up under another, voluntarily putting others ahead of yourself. We don't naturally do this. This has to be a God-driven thing, a Spirit-controlled thing. This is not me in my nature. My nature is not to submit. My nature is to want to be top dog. Yours is too. However, it manifests itself. All right, so submitting. Now, everybody's okay with that, right? Ladies, you're cool with this, right? To one another? Well, yeah, I'm cool if he's cool. Oh, here it comes. Wives! Who? Wives do what? Oh, dear Lord. Hupotasso. To who? Your own husbands. As to the Lord. As you submit to Jesus, you're supposed to submit to your husband. Voluntarily line up under your husband. What? What? Now, hang on. Well, then why? Why, John? He lays it out. For, here's the reason. Here's why you submit. The husband is the head of the wife. He is not. Yes, he is. Hang on. As Christ is the head of the church, he gives an illustration, his body and is himself its Savior. Now, don't turn me off. Do not turn me off. Especially if you're hearing this for the first time, you're looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Right, you're just like, what? All right, hang on. I'm going to show you. This is the word of God. This is not the word of John. All right? I wouldn't have probably written this because I don't like the beatings. Now, don't read anything into that at all. Seriously. Don't turn me off, all right? If you do, you're really turning off God. Because it's his word, not mine. And this will help your marriage. It will help your marriage. Paul goes all military on us here. What do you mean military? He's using a military term here. And it's the hupotasso. It's to line up under. Well, John, you've lost me. You've lost me, because I believe in equal rights, man. You're such a dinosaur. This has nothing at all to do with equality. Nothing. I'm just as good, John, as any man. Matter of fact, I'm smarter than my husband, and he'll agree with that statement if he knows what's good for him. This has nothing to do with value or intellect. Most of us guys, we realize you ladies are smarter than us. Most of us. Now, there are a few brainiac guys in here, and, you know, we don't like you. This has everything to do with roles and design. Everything to do with roles and design. But if you're having a visceral reaction to this, just wait till we get to the next verse. Take a deep breath. Here we go. Now, as the church submits to Christ, hupotasso, church to Jesus, right? Who submits to Jesus? Church submits to Jesus. So also, wives should submit, hupotasso, in how much? Oh, dear Jesus. To their husbands. I don't like that. I'm sorry. 52, if you're counting, 52 words on wives, what wives are to be doing. Say 52. Be glad you're not a man, girl. Well, it sounds like being a man is, it's all that, man. You just say, come here, woman, make me a sandwich. You're missing it, all right? 52 words. Why would you say that, John? Paul uses 52 words to lay out the role of wives in Christian marriage. Guess how many he uses for the husband? Probably four. You know, do everything I say. No. 52 for the women. 104 for the men. Exactly, if you're doing math in your head, twice as much. Exactly twice as much. Let's look at it. Husbands. Say husbands. What are they to do? Say it louder. Love your wives. Oh, I love her. I love her. I like her. She's a hot little thing. Shut up. We're talking different things here. Love your wives. As Christ, in the same way, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We're going to talk about this next week. Stay tuned. That, here's the reason, he might sanctify her, cleanse her, purify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that, he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That's what 104 words for the husbands, exactly two times as much for the women. Therefore, he continues, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become what? One flesh. Then he continues it. We read this earlier. This mystery is profound. I'm saying it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each of you love, circle that in your Bible, his wife as himself, and let the husband see that she respects, circle that, her husband. Now listen, church, listen, struggling married person. You just read the secret to fixing what's probably broken in your marriage. Well, I don't like it. That's why you're in counseling. Write this down. God's marriage demonstration takes faith. God's marriage demonstration takes faith. Result, I do it God's way, builds my marriage up. God's marriage demonstration takes faith. The result of that, it builds my marriage up. Satan's marriage temptation trusts feelings. God's takes faith. Satan's marriage temptation says, oh, that's not right. Oh, that's not right. He's taking advantage of you. Result blows my marriage up. But John, you're going to tell me to submit. And my husband, John, I just want you to know, he's not the spiritual leader in the home, of my home. He comes to church and he acts like him. And John, he is anything but a spiritual leader in our home. Or, John, my husband isn't even a Christian. I mean, he's an alcoholic drunk. Surely God does not want me to submit to somebody like that. First, listen to me. Before you let the feelings blow that marriage-saving truth out of your life, let me define, shall I, what these scary terms mean. Because most of us don't understand the biblical definition. You good with that? Say, I'm good with that. Back to the Bible. Wives, submit, hupotasso, to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, so submit to your own husbands. It's a scary word, submit. And it's been misused. Some of you have grown up with it being misused. You've seen it misused in your homes. It's used as a bludgeon for the husband to just control the wife. It kind of has the feel of a handmaiden's tale. Submit, woman. But what it means, we've looked at it briefly, submit to your own husbands. It's the Greek word, hupotasso, to voluntarily, say voluntarily, line up under. It's a military term. And so the man here who goes home after hearing me and hollers, submit, woman, Pastor John and Jesus say you need to submit. He's got it totally wrong. Totally wrong. You have my permission to slap him hard. This is voluntary by faith and obedience, following the pattern of Christ. You are not being forced into submission by your man. That blows the whole passage up. We'll see that especially next week. You are voluntarily, because you see what the God says and how God ordered it, you are saying, okay, I'm going to trust God. This doesn't seem right. This doesn't feel right. I don't like it. My husband's a goober, but I'm going to voluntarily place myself under his leadership, under his protection, under his provision, under his direction. This is the wife in faith putting aside feelings and doing it God's way, the marriage designer's way. This is God saying, hey, Christian lady, hey, Christian wife, why don't you be Christ-like? You say you're Christian, that means Christ-like. Why don't you be a Christian in your home? What do you mean, John? What do you mean? Jesus, God the Son did this. God the Son did this. The same Greek word used, that hupotasso, used in other places that we looked at, submit, is used of Jesus in his life. What in the world? Jesus as a child. This is Luke 2. He went down with Joseph and Mary, came to Nazareth, and was submissive, hupotasso, to them. This is the one that created them. This is the one that created Bethlehem. This is what he said, no, I am your child growing up in your home. I am going to sub. He could have shown off. He could have floated, levitated, whatever. You know, hey, mom and dad, you're wrong about that. And Jesus would have been right. He would have been right every time. He's God the Son growing up. And yet he submitted to a couple of mere humans because of the order of the home, hupotasso. Then, 1 Corinthians, when God puts everything under Christ's authority, okay, at the end, then Jesus is going to be mad. Woo, it's going to be awesome. He's going to be the big dog. The Son will put himself under, that's that word, hupotasso, means submit, God's authority, the Father's authority. Since God has put everything under the Son's authority, then God will be in control of everything. Still in the Trinity, God, the Father, is over Jesus. Well, I thought they were the same. Hang on. The Bible is clear that Jesus is equal with the Father. Clear of that. But he voluntarily places himself under the Father. And then in verse 22, it's the same thing. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, as you do to the Lord, and as the Lord does in the interaction with the Lord. Big point here, big point. Let me get this and help you out. This is not every woman voluntarily submitting to every man. That's not. It's to submit to who? Your own husbands. And so, guy, if your boss at work is a woman, please do not go in tomorrow and say, my pastor says I can't work for you because you're a woman. That's not what the book is saying. It's unless you're married to that woman. And then even in the workplace, tough to be you. One reason Christianity was hated when it arrived on the scene in early Rome and the Grecian society was it actually liberated women. Women were cattle almost. They were property. You could divorce her if she burnt the toast. Just, you know, sign a little document. Thou hast burnt the toast. Thou art divorced. And then you handed it to her, you sign your name, and then sent her out. Everybody's like, oh, what a shame. That woman, she burnt the toast. They were property. And so Paul comes here. Well, let me show you what he says, which blew folks away in Galatia. He sends this to this church in Galatia. In Christ's family, there can be no division into Jew, non-Jew, slave and free, male and female. Among us, you are all what? Equal. That is, we are all in a common relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, John, that scripture kind of blows up your submission stuff, doesn't it? No. Scripture never contradicts itself. We are equal, yes. Same value, same worth, same blood of Jesus shed to win us to himself. But look at this question. Don't answer this if you don't know it. Is Jesus fully God? Yeah. Somebody's like, I think so. I did before I started this message, I did. Is he fully God?
Yes.
Is he equal with the Father?
Yes.
Okay, they're equal in relationship and worth, but different in roles. Different in roles. Philippians. Man, I love Philippians. We're going to go into Philippians, I think, this year too. Make it your attitude. Say attitude. That of Christ, not of Satan, who existing in the form of God, so he's up there, he's in the glory, he's in the second person of the Trinity, did not consider equality with God something he used for his own advantage. So he's equal with God the Father. He's talking, when he says God here, he's talking about God the Father. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of slave, taking on the likeness of men. This is when he came to Bethlehem. And when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. This has nothing to do with my worth, my value. It has everything to do with his roles. You know what? I think that I'm just as valuable as Dr. Andrew Keynes. He's in our church. You might not know him. You might. He works, he's a foot surgeon, very brilliant dude. I think I'm as valuable. Say yes, John, you're as valuable. Help me now. Okay, yeah. But, so if I'm as valuable as Dr. Keynes, does that mean that I could go to his office, put on scrubs, and say, excuse me, let me do the next one? Yeah. No, you wouldn't. How many of you would like Pastor John operating your foot? Nobody. You're very wise people. I'm just as worthy as Bonnie Sutton. Longtime member, CEO of Access College Foundation. I'm just as worthy as Bonnie, I think, but they don't, for some reason, call me for tactical decisions for Access Foundation. Kind of hurts my feelings. Why? Why, John, do wives have to submit? God laid it out. You missed it, maybe, but here's the reason. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. In the Navy, we call this what? Chain of command. You military folks ought to understand this if nobody else does. This is all about roles. 1 Corinthians 11:3, I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God, God the Father. So there's a chain of command there. Christ is not less valuable than the Father. They are equal. And so, therefore, the husband and the wife are equal as well. But there is a roles scenario. I don't like it. Well, take it up with Jesus. He's the one that's laying it down. And he lays it down very specifically. Because a headless body, well, there shouldn't be a head. Well, you know what you call a headless body? A corpse, dead. Dead. And some of your marriages, there is no head. Some of your marriages, there's two heads, which is called a freak. I've been told that before. Our family's a democracy. Everybody gets a vote. Well, you're dumb. It's not how God set it up. I love you, but you're blowing up your family. You want a little 5-year-old Billy to have the same vote that you do? Billy's not real smart. I don't know if you've noticed. Not yet, anyway. USS San Diego, on my last cruise, I was LPO, leading petty officer, and my chief got in some trouble. He did some bad stuff, and so all of a sudden, he was gone. He gone back. This is back in, the days when I won't go there. But if you did something bad, you got in trouble, and, see you later. And so he did some bad stuff. It was some bad stuff, if true. And he's gone. I mean, he's just gone. We never saw him again. And so now we don't have a chief. And so I was in the boiler room. I'm the boiler technician. And then so we had this machinist mate. They had a young chief. He was, they didn't need him as much. And so they sent the machinist mate chief over to the boiler room. And I knew more about the boiler room than he did. I knew more about force draft blowers, main feed pumps than he did, and pressure gauges in our side of the room. But you know what? He was placed over me by my division officer, and I had to submit to him. I was better at my job. I knew my space better than he did, but he was over me. He wasn't better than me. He wasn't smarter than me. He wasn't worth more than me, but he was over me in the chain of command. The buck stopped with him. He had the greater responsibility and the greater expectations, too. Write this down. Differing roles, husband and wife. They're differing roles. But ultimate responsibility, husband. Husband, the buck stops with you, guy. The buck stops with you. God is going to one day lock eyes with you and say, why'd your marriage stink so bad? Well, hurt. No. You were in charge. You were the head of that home. You were. Some of you guys need to man up. You really do. Spiritually man up. We're going to look at this next week. Ladies, make sure they're here next week. So some of you are going to try to duck out. All right? And it's good. It's amazing. It's amazing stuff. It's awesome stuff. But I need you here. The problem in many homes, men want the headship without the responsibility. They want to, I'm the leader, I'm the boss, and then no responsibility when things blow up. Kids go crazy, honey, take care of it. Bills, aren't paid, honey, take it. And that's not to say that you have to man run the checkbook, because some of you are really bad at that, and I get that. Differing roles, ultimate responsibility, husband. Now, there's some, I don't know, I heard a rumor today that there's some game going on. Something, football game, is that right? Not important. How many say not important? Oh, hello. Your team sucks. Football. All right, think football for a second. Who's the play caller on the field? Quarterback is. Is he more important than the receiver? Now, some of you say, yeah. Right? Some of you say, yeah. But if you got a quarterback without a receiver, without a lineman, just him out there by himself, whole bunch of big 300-pounders chasing him around, he ain't going to do so well, is he? Every position's important. Every role is important. Special teams, those kickers, sometimes they're the difference between victory and defeat. Everybody's just all up to him, man. He's all up to him. And so, every position is important. Every role is important for that. Different roles being played to win. When a winning football team starts losing, when the running back thinks that they're not being valued as much as the quarterback, and maybe they're not. And so, either says, I quit. I'm just going to phone it in. Whatever. The quarterback's getting all the attention. Whatever. La-di-da. So he starts slacking off, or else he tries to take over. Get a snap from the center. All of a sudden, he's running by, trying to grab the ball. That's happening in your marriages, some of you. It's exactly what's happening. There's a power struggle. Where's it come from, John? Genesis, garden. You know this. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He, the serpent, said to the woman, who'd he say it to? The woman. Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God. You'll be like God. Knowing good and evil is going to be awesome. And when the woman saw, who did? That's that woman. Saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some and did what? She ate it. She also, now look at this. Many people, she also gave some to her husband who was with her. He was with her while Satan was talking to her. While Satan was going, hey, God, he doesn't know everything, and he's just worried that you're going to, get more wisdom and kind of, maybe be kind of God-like and all. And the husband's just like, whatever you want, dear. Whatever you want. I'm a little wimpy man. When the woman saw, she took some and ate. And her husband ate, who was with her, ate. God has already designed the roles by this time. By this time. Many of you think that, with the woman and the submission thing, that came because of the fall. But now because of that passage we looked at that we're all equal because of Jesus, now there are no more role distinctions. That's not true. Because here's another roles text in 1 Timothy. Now this is tough, all right? This is tough truth. You came in here, hopefully if you come into the church, you come in to hear the word of God. Amen? Anybody? Amen. Okay. The happy texts? Woo! The sad texts? And the tough to chew on gristle texts. This is one of those, at least for ladies. A woman should learn in quietness and full, what's this word? Submission. Now, this context is in the church. All right? It's in the church, not in your home. It's in the church. Well, why is he saying that? Apparently, there were a bunch of women who were taking over the service. That's what we think. Not sure. But, you know, they were like, ah! So he's like, ah, here, here. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. Some of you are getting ready to just say, I'm going to the Methodist church next week. So this is teach or have authority. Now, not teach, she can teach kids, youth, but not. This is why at Point Harbor we don't ordain women. You think, oh, they're sexist. No, we're biblicists. There's a reason for this. There's a reason for this. All right? She's not any less valuable, but there's a roles component that comes from God. I have no right to edit God. Sometimes I wish I could. I would take some things out of the Bible. You know, I would. I'd at least soften them. You know, because I don't understand why God did that. I'm not totally God-like yet, so I don't understand. What would you take out? Hell? I'd love for hell to be like some of the cults say, if there is a hell, you burn up and there you're gone. That would be more, okay, palatable to me. But guess what? The Bible says, when you go to hell, if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, you're going to burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You tired of me saying it? Ever and ever. So if I could be God's editor, then I'll take that out or soften it like some guys have tried to do. But I have no right to edit God. Neither do you. Say, neither do I. Neither do I. So in the church, I don't permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. She must be silent. Why, Paul, you sexist? For reason, Adam was formed first, then Eve. Roles in the creation order. That can't change. That doesn't change. That was God's, before they fell, before they sinned, order. That was God's design. Well, John, you're just saying this because you're a man. If you were a woman, you'd be preaching differently. I hope not. Why don't you call up my wife and ask her? Why don't you call up my daughter Janelle, who went to Liberty University and got a women's ministry degree, and ask her? Why don't you call up Elizabeth Elliott and ask her? I realize it's not popular, but it's the Word of God. And one of the reasons why our churches are weak and failing is because we have, help me now, feminized the church. To try to say, okay, culture, come on, we'll take those hard truths out. You come in now, come in and fill our pews, give money in our offering plate. We won't say those tough things. Paul was just having a bad day. Now, quickly back to Genesis. Adam and Eve and humanity fall into sin, and man is judged, and the serpent is judged, and the woman is judged. And then got to the man, he said, so God's like, since you've listened to your wife, obeyed her. That's what it means. Since you obeyed your wife instead of me, since you didn't lead and you abdicated your leadership, Adam, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you'll struggle to scratch a living from it. Then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain will you give birth. Ladies, say, thanks a lot, Eve. And you will desire to control, to what? Your husband, but he will rule over you. You will desire to control your husband, but he will rule. There's going to be this tension in your home now, Eve, because you guys fell into sin, didn't do it my way, and your fallenness, you are going to, and man, you're going to try to lead wrongly like a dictatorial leader, and wife, you're going to push for control. There's going to be this tension back and forth, which is exactly what is happening in a lot of homes right here. And it came all the way from the garden. And your marriage blows up, and the selfie that you have now of your marriage does not show Jesus and the church. It shows an interesting image in the background of Satan. Hear me. The marriage roles didn't come from the fall. They came out of the Creator's design. The struggle over roles came from the fall. In my humanity, in my flesh, in myself, I want to do it my way, not God's way. I want to order my marriage my way. But write this. I want you to get this down. The power of a submissive wife. What do you mean the power? Just write it down. The power. There is huge power you have, lady. If you do it God's way. If you do it God's way. You do it your way, you have your power. How's that been working for you? You do it God's way, you get God's power. The power of the Holy Spirit. When you go counterintuitive, when you go counterfleshly. But John, no, but yeah, well, I'll try to answer. The power of the Holy Spirit, he can fix your marriage when you can't. But my husband, nah, God can fix. I've seen God do miracles. I've seen when a wife got this and said, I'm going to apply this, and it hurts, but I'm going to apply it. Submit to your own husband for the power of your own God. Submit to your own husband for the power of your own God. You got a problem submitting. You got a problem with God, lady. And by the way, men, there is a place for us to submit to. And it's harder. We'll look at that next week. Some of you ladies, and this is from Robin and I, we go out on Mondays for a breakfast chitty chat. She said, what'd you preach on? And so I told her, and she goes, oh, man, she just got animated. She got animated. She goes, take notes, take notes. This is my sermon, woman. But she gave me some good stuff. Some of you ladies, you know what you're like? You're standing out in the rain, praying for God to stop the rain, to change what he's doing. God, stop the rain. Instead of getting yourself out of the rain, into the shelter of God's truth. Because understanding, admitting that he knows more about this than you do. He's the designer. You're just the liver of it. He's the designer of it. You can say, okay, this is what God's doing. I might not like it, but I need to work with it. I need to obey him and see his results, because my results really stink. Jesus submitted to his parents, to God his Father, to the cross. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for you, and it's good enough, husbands, for you. So when I practice biblical submission, guess who I'm like? Say it. Jesus. When I don't practice biblical submission, guess who I'm like? Satan, who got thrown out of heaven for not submitting. I know this is a hard truth for some of you, but I have to be true to his word and not current culture. Here's our message. Here's the message. Our Christian marriage is to be a selfie of Christ in the church. My husband and myself, my wife and myself, our Christian marriage is to be a selfie of Christ in the church, not of Satan and his family. And when people look at it, when we show our selfie off just by living our lives, our relationship is supposed to look like the awesome relationship between Jesus and the church. And then God will use that picture, that selfie, to make other people see it, want to get a cool selfie like that, that they can live themselves in their lives. That's why, and I don't want to make any of you upset any more than you need to be made upset. That is why divorce, that's why God said in the Old Testament, I hate divorce. Now, he permits it for two reasons. And if you got divorced outside of that, God can forgive that and bless the current relationship you're in. But God hates divorce because it blows up the picture. Here's a couple supposed to be a Christian couple, and, you know, they're supposed to have the power of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. But no, bam, they hate each other, and Satan is all over making appearances in their selfie. And so, boom, I can't live with you. I can't live with you. See you, bye. Because it's an easy out, but it's not an easy out. It's not an easy out. Lives are blown up. Children are blown up. Other people related to you are blown up. Other people that were looking at you, maybe kind of, oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm going to see, look at their life and see if this Christianity stuff is really real. Oh, guess not. God is the one that says the power of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it whithersoever he will. If the king's heart is in the hand of God, your husband's heart is too. And your wife. You just need to believe it. Satan wants to photobomb that marital selfie. Now, somebody here is about to explode. Feel the pressure. John, I'd be happy to submit to voluntarily place myself under my husband's leadership if he was godly, if he acted at home like he acts at church in front of you. My husband's a jerk. How can you say there's power in being a submissive wife? It's not me saying, it's God. It's God. Even and especially in your case. What do you mean? 1 Peter. Some of you need to write this down, get this tattooed somewhere. Wives, in the same way, be what? Submissive to your husbands, so that, here's the reason why, if any of them do not believe, talking about you, girl, and your husband, the word, they may be won. How? By me telling them, you know, they need Jesus, by me witnessing to them, by me giving them gospel tracts, putting them around their beer cans. They may be won over without words. So help me, Jesus. By the behavior. How then? How without words? By the behavior of their wives when they, the husbands, see the purity and reverence of your lives. Some of you are blowing it so bad. You're blowing it so bad. You're just trying to nag your husband into heaven. It's not going to work, girl. Without words. Get him the gospel, yes, but once the gospel is implanted, then just say, I'm going to show him, I'm going to show that this book is really true, that I want him to accept because it's changed me. It's changed me. Man, some of you ladies are blown. I love you. For this, it gets dicier. This is the way the holy women, what kind of women? Holy women. That's not, ooh, but that's just women that say, Jesus, you're first in my life. In the past, put their hope in God, and it has to be a hope. Some of you, you're just like, man, John, I don't know if it's going to work. It's a hope. Used to make themselves beautiful. Oh, I love this. This is how the past, women of the past, put their hope in God. This is what they use to make themselves beautiful. You don't see Mary Kay there. No facelifts there. What do you see? Your behavior is the real beauty. All the rest of it just surface. By the way, it's so sad to see some of these Hollywood stars, starlets, trying to stay 20 when they're 80. They all look like Burt Reynolds. That's not the real beauty. They were submissive to their own husbands like Sarah. They just pick it out. Like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham, obeyed, say obeyed, and called him, oh, help me, Jesus, her master. Some of you guys, don't do this. Don't go home and go, no, you must call me master. It's just a term in that era of respect, of deep respect. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear.
Well, I don't know what, he'll take advantage of me.
This is not a promise. I will say this is not a promise. Promising the word of God, you do it, it's going to come true. This is a principle, though. Principle. That's your husband who doesn't love Jesus, who doesn't like church, who hates Pastor John. If he's going to be reached, that's how you're going to do it. That's how you're going to do it. It has the most power. That's the most power you have to change him, lady. By the power of the Holy Spirit. By submitting, well, he's not even a Christian. I get it. He doesn't say it's submit if they're Christians, but not if they're not Christians. What if he tells me to do something that's evil? Then no, because you have a higher authority, right? Chain of command. If my chief told me to do something, the captain said no, I obey the captain. Yeah? Here's the truth, lady of God. Satan hates it when you're submissive. He doesn't want you to be Christ-like. He wants you to be like him. He knows what many of you don't know, that stretching in your faith, that you are showing a powerful testimony of God in the neighborhood, and that God is then working overtime on your husband. Amazing power of a submissive wife. Grab that power, lady. Grab it. Use that power in your marriage and in your home. It's available. Let your kids see that power. Please your God and start fixing your marriage, not by nagging, but by living this. Not some weary and tired lady says, oh my, are you saying it's all up to me? No, 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 no. Remember, 52 words for you. How much for him? Oh, 104. Guess what? He's supposed to be submitting to you too. What? We'll look at it next week. And it's harder. Husbands, now get this. This is from Miss Robin too. I never thought of this. This blew my mind. It's like, she said this, and it's when you submit to your husband, and your husband then learns how to biblically submit where he's supposed to the wife, it'll probably stop 75% of all nagging in their relationship. I'm like, say it again, girl, I gotta write this down. And I'll explain it next week. Guys, she's such a nag. There's a reason. It's not, she shouldn't. There's a reason. You could fix it. At least 75% of it, guys. Are you interested? Say, I'm interested. Oh, some of you are chicken right there. You're just so chicken. You ought to be interested. When you husbands submit in the area you're supposed to submit in, it would stop 75%, if not more, of the nagging that you gripe to me about in the foyer. So, lady, your homework, submit. Learn how to submit. And also make sure he's here next week. Oh, he'll be here. He'll be in the front row. Amen. Let's quit letting Satan photobomb our marital selfies. Amen. Let's start making the picture match what we say we believe. And then see the power of the Holy Spirit of God in that. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much. I pray. This is a hard truth. Some ladies are going to say, oh, I tell you what, I'm not, and they're going to walk out and miss the blessing of you working Holy Spirit in their marriage, accomplishing what they could not do up to this point. Wherever they're at, Lord, there's some great marriages in here, and then there's some crappy marriages in here, and there's all in between. There's some on the rocks. God, I pray that we would do it your way, even if it's counterintuitive. Of course it is. It's, our flesh doesn't like the Spirit leading us. I pray, God, that you would convict our hearts. Help us to have ears to hear. Lord, work. Tear down strongholds, Lord, in this room today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Now.